Hi, I'm Jenna.
I'm Terrence.
We're the hosts of Psyche,
our podcast.
Every other episode will be mental health focused, while the others will discuss more fun things like books, movies, games, and shows.
If the episode contains sensitive topics, we will put TW for trigger warning in the description with a brief summary of the topics discussed in that episode.
If the episode contains spoilers, we will put SP in the description. It should be noted that neither Terrence nor I are mental health professionals and that you should not think of us as such.
If you are struggling in any way, please contact a mental health professional.
So we just got done watching Soul on Disney Plus. Terrence, what did you think?
So I thought it was a really good film. Very realistic, if anything. Like, a lot of that stuff that happened in the movie, like, it felt kind of genuine, as much as, like, an animated movie can be.
Yeah, I think they paid a lot of attention to details like quiet coyotes, which you never experienced, apparently. But
I have not.
That's a real thing. Like, teachers would go around in elementary school, just quiet coyote, but it was usually a little angrier than what Jerry was saying, which was like, quiet coyote. It was more like, hey, quiet coyotes.
I like how, like, in the beginning of the movie, like, the band that was playing at the school, it felt very, that was definitely realistic. Like,
yes.
My orchestra experience was very similar. Like, no one, there was like a very few people that could actually play. Everyone else was just kind of, we were just struggling. We were trying.
I just love the kid that sucks up the Skittles through his tuba.
I can't say if that is accurate or not to my experience.
I really hope it is.
But for some people, I'm sure that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. It reminds me a lot of Greek mythology.
Really?
Yeah, because in Greek mythology, the underworld is like where you go after you die.
Okay.
And then there are different sections that you could end up in.
Mm-hmm.
So you could end up just like in the fields of asphodel, which would be just wandering.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing, pretty much. And then there's Elysium, which is like where the best people go. And it's paradise. Mm-hmm. And then there's a thing where if someone is really good, they can be reborn.
Okay.
And so they can, if they're reborn three times and they live great lives each time,
mm-hmm.
then they get to the, like, final paradise, I guess.
Interesting. So better than Elysium. Like, even better than that.
I think so.
Okay.
Either that or Elysium is, like, the final thing. I'm okay. A little fuzzy on the details, but...
Yeah, I'm like, you know way more than I do, so...
Well, it just... the idea that, like, there are mentors, and so some people keep going on to the, like, the big white scary thing.
Yeah.
On the conveyor belt of people. Or, like, there are the new souls that have to jump down to Earth. It just very much reminded me of Greek mythology. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I wouldn't have even made that connection. Like, I know very little. Like, I'm like, oh, there's, like, there's gods and goddesses and, like, mortals. Like, I don't know.
Well, I know more than I should, so.
Yeah, I'm like, that's fair. That is valid. One thing I liked about Joe Gardner as a character, he feels like a character to me that, like, he really wants to chase his dreams, but, like, also at the same time, like, he feels like he needs that security, like, with having, like, the full-time job at the school would be, which, like, I can kind of relate to. It's like, in my college experience, I know I'm kind of like going off on a tangent.
No, that's,
but,
that's what podcasts are for.
But like, I kind of felt that where like, I have all these like ideas like growing up that I'd wanted to chase. And I'm like, this just doesn't seem like realistic to me. And like, I need something that's like more like stable, I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get caught up in that. Like, if you want to, let's say, be an actor, you kind of have to start that early. And so... Mm-hmm. If that's your dream and you're just too afraid, then you end up just working basically dead-end jobs,
mm-hmm.
instead of chasing your dream. And I think that the part where they help the guy, like the lost soul, back to his body, and he's sitting at the desk and he sweeps all of his computers off the desk and he's like, what am I doing with my life?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really, it's kind of meant to show like, if you end up just working a dead-end job and stop pursuing your passions, then like, what are you doing with your
life? It's kind of like like that guy, like, it didn't even like feel like he had a soul. Like, he was just like working the same job, like same thing
going repeatedly. Through the motions.
Like, even the, like, when he was I forget what it was called, The Great Beyond, something like that, where, like, the lost souls are, like, he was, like, repeating something, I don't remember exactly the words, but, like, just kind of, like, he was in the zone, but, like, the negative version of it, like, where he's like, just,
I have to find it or something.
Yeah, I just, like, I have to do this, blah, 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 whatever. I like that.
It's an interesting concept, like, the whole lost soul thing,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's also interesting that they link, kind of the afterlife that they depict
mm-hmm.
with real life and like the living. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess the first time I watched it, I was kind of confused because I didn't expect them to actually have like the zone or anything. I thought it was just going to be cut and dried. This is life. This is death.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting to see how they tied it all together because I think a lot of people tend to forget about spirituality. And, most people's idea of spirituality is like organized religion.
Yeah.
But it can be more than that. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of getting in touch with that deeper part of you.
Yeah. Kind of going off of that. I like how this movie, even though like it brought up the idea of like souls and stuff like that, like some kind of like afterlife, it didn't feel like religious in any way.
Yeah.
Like it was just solely like it was just solely like, hey, people might have souls and like this might be what happened. Like it was just kind of like, I don't know, it was very interesting to me though.
Yeah. I like that they touch on the idea a lot of being born for something, because what they do is they correct the notion that we're all born for a purpose or mm-hmm. to do one thing over the others. So like Joe at the beginning says that he was born to play the piano,
mm-hmm.
and then throughout the course of the movie, it kind of corrects that, where it's like, you're not born to play the piano, you're born to experience life, and mm-hmm. this is your passion, so this is kind of how you connect with yourself, and it's different from your purpose in life.
Yeah, if I was, like, if I was born to do something, I would have no idea what it is. Like, I've changed my mind about what I want to do, like, later in life so often. Like, even mm-hmm. being in college, like, I'm not even sure my major right now is, like, what I want to do.
What is your major right now?
I'm a sociology major.
Okay.
So I've been thinking about, like, becoming, like, a counselor or, like, a therapist or something like mm-hmm. that. But, like, even now, I'm still kind of, like, second-guessing myself. Like, is this what I really want to do? Like,
yeah.
I feel kind of, like, locked into this path.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's kind of comforting, honestly, to think about the fact that we're not actually born to do one thing.
Yeah.
We kind of get to choose between our passions and hopefully pursue that or get stuck in a dead-end job.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm hoping I don't.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really, it would be nice if I didn't. One thing I liked about The Great Beyond is when, like, Joe is working with 22, how, like, it shows his life mm-hmm. when he puts his hand on the thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, like, I thought about, like, what would my life show? And, like, Joe even points out, he's like, oh, my life is meaningless. And I'm like, damn, like, I kind of feel like that low-key. Like, I feel like I haven't, like, accomplished much, like, up until this point. So I'm like, maybe the rest of my life will be a little more interesting.
I think this movie is, it's interesting because they kind of pitched it, or I guess they didn't pitch it, but when you see a Pixar movie or an animated movie, you kind of assume it's for kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely not for kids.
Yeah, it takes on some big, like, some really heavy topics.
Yeah, for, like surprisingly heavy.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I was thinking about it from a kid's perspective, and the whole, the conveyor belt leading on to nowhere, and, like, basically just anything in the soul realm is terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, the animation is, look, like, from an art perspective, it's very beautiful, but it's also very scary.
Yeah.
Like, kind of freaky, not so fun, sometimes funny, like, when Terry grows a sixth finger, if you caught that, it was pretty funny. But yeah, I was thinking about it. It's not a kid's movie, which is really interesting. I guess it's entertaining if you are a child.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely a lot more to grasp if you're, like, an adult. And you can actually, like, notice, like, all these things that they're putting in that a kid just might not grasp.
I definitely think it was meant for adults.
Mm-hmm.
No, definitely. So the other thing that I noticed is that they touch a lot on taking on jobs that you don't want to do until you reach your passion or reach your goal, which is extremely realistic. And I think that, kind of going back to what we were saying, you know, a lot of people get stuck in that, and it I think the movie is kind of meant to comfort people who are doing that.
Yeah.
Who are working jobs that they don't want to do just so that they can kind of be in the area of their dream.
Yes.
And to me, it is comforting because personally, mm-hmm. I would love to do other things. My goal is to be an author.
Okay.
But I'm not studying English. Yes. I'm studying psychology so that I can be a counselor and kind of support myself on my way to being a published author.
So it's just kind of like a stepping stone.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really comforting to know, like, hey, you're not, like, that's okay, that's normal, and you're still going somewhere, even though you're not doing exactly what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. One thing that kind of bothers me, like, going off of that, I don't know how your experience was, but, like, for me, kind of growing up, like, in middle school, a lot of my, like, teachers were kind of like, oh, like, what do you want to do with your life? Like, what are you interested in? And, like, at that point in my life, I'm like, I really don't know. Like, mm-hmm. especially with how much my life has, like, changed and, like, my interests have changed, like, so much. Like, I don't know how they expect you to know, like, at that point in your life, like,
yeah.
oh, yeah, I want to do exactly this and, like, my life is going to be perfect and mm-hmm. this is what I want to do.
Well, honestly, I think just in general, we choose what our career paths are far mm-hmm. too young. Because what happened, so when I was a freshman in college last year, I came in undecided and I had to decide between art education and psychology. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I guess I still kind of don't. I just settled for something that mm-hmm. was interesting and easy.
Yes.
So I think in general, we just push that idea of knowing what you want to do far too young because mm-hmm. we're like just coming out of being a teenager.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just not a good time yeah. to be like, I'm going to be a firefighter.
And then you're stuck. They trap you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you have to do this for the rest of your life. Good luck.
Like, yeah. No. Well, to be fair, in Italy, they have a very different way of doing things
okay.
where they have to choose what they're going to do even younger. They have to choose when they're going into high school.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. On one hand, it's nice because then the rest of their high school experience is just classes that pertain to the area that they're going into instead mm-hmm. of like Common Core.
Yeah.
Ohio education requirements, classes that you don't want to take.
Yes.
But at the same time, you would have to choose what career path you're taking at like 13.
Yeah. Do you know what they do if you're like, if you actually don't want to do that? Like, for the rest of your life.
I don't know. I mean, I know it's not as common for people to go to college there, I don't think.
Okay.
But I know that they can. Like, I know a good number of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of my friends, but
yeah, I'm like, I don't know what I would do in that case. Yeah. Like I said before, I've changed my mind, like, so many times. Mm-hmm. Like, I would honestly be lost.
Yeah, well, what happened with my brother, Ryan, I hope you don't mind me talking about you. he took a bunch of computer science electives in high school,
mm-hmm.
and so he kind of decided that that was what he was going to do mm-hmm. in college. And he got to his sophomore year, and he realized that his passion is music.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to, I think, switch majors to music. And what happened was, like, my parents were encouraging him to stick with computer science because computer science majors make yeah. a shit ton of money.
Yeah, it's a little more stable.
It's a little more stable. And so what he ended up doing is he added an entire major because he wanted to do both.
Dang.
But think of how much school that is.
Yeah, that's a lot. Props to you, man.
Like, yeah.
I cannot.
But yeah, I guess I see a lot of that happening right now. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know several friends who they went into college with one degree and they've already switched, which I think is normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, it's too soon for us to know exactly what we want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we should be allowed to, like, choose a major, declare a major mm-hmm. until our third year of college.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could definitely agree with that. That's why I kind of have respect for people that kind of take a gap year between, like, high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they end up, like, not even going to college,
yeah.
that's fair. Just because, like, it's so difficult to figure out what you want to do. Like, I feel like I haven't gotten to experience, like, a lot of, like, what life has to offer. Like,
yeah.
there's so many different, like, career options and, like, different things I could do that I don't
yeah.
even know about because I'm so, like, focused on, like, oh, I need to find a thing.
Well, one of the tough things about coming to college and then also having to choose your major on top of it is, like you said, we haven't experienced a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I came from a very tight-knit community where I went to a Catholic school that was, I think we had 200 people in my class. And everyone kind of had the same background. Everyone had similar backgrounds, ideologies, all that kind of thing. And so kind of most of my life, I thought it was like bad to go to a community college or to take a gap year, to not know what you want to do bad in school, all that stuff. And then you get to college and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
it's like, oh, he went to a community college. Oh, good for him.
Yeah, like, no one
cares. Took a gap year. Oh, I'm jealous. Like, yeah.
It's like, and people are a lot more open. Like,
yeah.
Just do what works best for you, honestly.
Yeah. And it's honestly for me, like I feel like I'm actually experiencing life as opposed to the 50s because my Catholic school was it was started in the 50s and I don't think the rules have changed since then. So
it might need to look at that just a little bit. Would not be a bad plan. I don't know how we got here.
I don't know either.
It's like we were talking about soul.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about like Catholic school and like,
yeah. Well, we're talking about the idea that you get stuck doing one thing until you can actually pursue your dream.
Yes. So.
At the beginning, when he gets to play with Dorothea Williams, he says, and I quote, "I would die a happy man if I got to play with Dorothea Williams." And see, I interpret that as like he idolizes this jazz musician, and so being in her presence and playing music with her at all would make him happy. And I know that there's the other interpretation of like playing, like performing with her, but I just find it funny because he says that and then he plays with her and then he dies and he's very dissatisfied.
Yeah,
because he wants to keep going, like he's not happy having died. And so I just think it's ironic, but
kind of going off of that, I feel like, obviously, like, he reached his dream, like, this is what he wanted to do, perform with, like, a famous jazz musician, sure. But I feel like a lot of people, like, once they accomplish their, like, dreams or their goals, they kind of, like, want to live that out for a little bit, instead of, like, hey, I experienced this thing once, and, oh, I'm dead now, like...
Just you peak, and then that's it.
Yeah, like, you kind of want to, like, you kind of want to ride it for a little bit.
Just yeah. But I think it also is meant to kind of illustrate that even after you achieve something, there's still more that you want. Because especially if you're chasing your dream, you can't be satisfied by milestones. You have to be satisfied by reaching the end goal.
I feel like a lot of the times when people reach an end goal, they'll make another one. Just because, like, if you stop having things to, like, try to achieve, like, life is not interesting. It's just like, okay, I'm doing this thing I've been doing for like years and years. It's just the same thing.
Yeah, you end up like the guy at the desk who...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I understand the fact that, like, he achieved this goal he was looking to achieve, but, like, I'm sure no one really wants to, like, go out like that. Like, achieve your goal and then you're just like, okay, I'm gone.
Let me tell you, the first time I watched that movie and he fell down into the hole, my heart dropped. I was so sad. I didn't expect to be that sad. And I didn't expect the movie to like hit that different, but it did.
I was taken aback a little bit when that happened. I was like, man, they really, I guess the movie is called Soul, but like, I didn't think it happened this fast.
Well, I thought it, to be honest, I didn't expect them to start with him being alive. I didn't expect them to show his death.
Oh, you thought it would, like,
I thought
start
he
off
would...
with him as a soul.
Yeah, kind of like, have you seen The Good Place?
Yes.
Yeah, so she wakes up and it's like...
She's just there.
Everything is fine and she's just dead. Like, I thought it would be more like that, where he just... They start, like, he wakes up and he's dead. So I wasn't expecting that. But honestly, I think I like the way they did it. Definitely unique. A little sad.
Yeah, a little depressing. Like,
just,
oh man,
a little,
I got
bit
to play with Dorothy Williams and I'm gone.
Yeet. So, going back to when he was showing 22 his life. I thought it was kind of interesting because he looks at all these attempts at breaking into the music world as failures. But to be honest, I think anyone who is trying is doing something. Like, that is some sort of success. Because, like the guy at the desk, if you don't try, that is more of a failure than anything. Because, like, playing music and trying and, trying to achieve that goal gives Joe life. And so giving up on a dream is more of a failure than trying and failing a billion times. And also, he doesn't fail at the end. He finally gets his break. And so it's interesting how he's wandering around all these scenes and he's like, oh, my life was meaningless. But it's not. Like, if you think about the people that you admire, I personally think it's more admirable for someone to try a lot and work really hard versus just giving up or not doing anything, settling, that kind of thing. Or even if they, like, if they were born into good fortune, like child actors. It's like, I admire the people who work their way up or die trying slightly more than, well, I got this gig when I was 3 years old and that's what all started.
And that's all, that's what I'm doing. I liked how, like, when he was looking at the failures, he even, like, didn't really see them as failures. He was just like, oh, I didn't see it like that. That's not how I saw it. Like, even though he did fail, he just kind of, like, bounced back from it and just kept going. Just kept doing his thing.
The other thing that I kind of didn't like is they didn't really touch on the fact that he inspired other people to do their job. Because he's in this room with all of his memories, and he says, like, my life was meaningless, but he kind of walks past the part where he's a band teacher. And all you can hear is the terrible music instead of the one girl who plays the
trombone.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm not musical. But I think it would have been better if at some point they had made him kind of look back at those moments of the guy who contacts him. Was it, what's his name? I forget his name, but the guy who gets him the gig with Dorothea Williams.
His former student.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
And so, you know, he's inspired all these people, and I think that that is something that he's done that is a success, and they just kind of don't acknowledge it. Like, they do, but indirectly. And I don't know. I would have liked to see more about that.
I mean, sometimes we as people, like, even though we've had, like, some of these, like, successes in the past, like, we kind of gloss over those, and we only see, like, oh, like, this bad thing happened, this thing happened, I failed here, here, here.
Yeah.
Like, we tend to focus more on, like, the negatives instead of, like, the positives, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I personally, I know when I was in high school, I started tennis when I was 14, and then I worked really, really hard and caught up to all my teammates, really quickly, like, at a surprising rate. But, you know, I can look back now and say, wow, that was amazing. Like, I worked my ass off, and I got good enough to play one of the top positions in high school. But when I was in the moment, all I could see was that I was losing continually to all these different people. And I think that that is kind of the same thing, where it's like, you don't necessarily look at the progress you made. You just look at the result.
Yes. So it takes a little bit sometimes to kind of take yourself out of that mentality of, like, oh, I've only messed up here, like, this failure, instead of, like, oh, like, let me step back, let me actually look at, like, what I've accomplished, and you're gonna see, like, there's obviously more than you initially thought.
Yeah, definitely. And, speaking of, like, that whole experience, so with the lost souls, they talk about how a soul becomes lost when they let their joys become obsessions. And it kind of turns into an anxiety. And so you see the guy with the metal detector, and he's like, I gotta find it, I gotta find it. And then he gets swallowed up by it. Instead of just focusing on, like, hey, I'm doing something that I love. And so that happened with me with tennis. I hate to...
No, you're good. Yeah, I understand.
But what happened was, you know, I really loved it at first, and it was so much fun, and I love it now. But for a while there, it just became like, you're not getting what you want out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that you got to find it. It's like, you have to win. And that's kind of what happened, where all of a sudden it felt like I was going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was making me, it was bad for my mental health.
For sure.
And so it's all interesting to kind of see that played out in a kid's movie, more or less.
I feel like I can kind of relate to that. Me personally, I really like bounce from thing to thing, mm-hmm. just because I don't want to get to that point where I just feel like I'm going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to continuously enjoy like whatever I'm doing, instead of just like, oh, like I have to do this thing again, I have to do XYZ. Like, I want to enjoy like my life, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, definitely. Related to that, it was like the next part of that scene, they mm-hmm. connect to Joe's body.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they do that is actually like an actual psychological technique, okay. of mindfulness. They just didn't put it that way.
Okay.
But, you know, when I was kind of getting back into tennis, because I quit my senior year and then I got back into it for college,
mm-hmm.
You just kind of have to focus on like the little things, like mm-hmm. like I'm holding the racket, I can feel the weight of the racket,
mm-hmm.
I'm hitting the ball, and oh, that was fun, instead of thinking about something beyond the physical,
mm-hmm.
and what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to connect with what's around you,
for sure,
more than people really do, because you know, you're on your phone and you're distracted,
yeah.
and technology is definitely not the enemy, but it is the enemy.
No, I feel that.
But yeah, I really liked how they brought in an actual psychological technique, an actual thing of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. It's more hippie psychology, but that's fine.
What I kind of also liked, I liked how 22 had like that childlike aspect where everything seemed really interesting to her. Like, I feel like I've kind of lost that
mm-hmm.
over the years. Like, I'm just kind of, nothing really seems new to me. Like, it all just feels like the same. Like, just kind of running through, like, oh, like, walk into my car, hop in the car, drive to wherever. Like, it's just kind of like I'm going through the motions, you know what I mean?
Next time I see you unlock the car, I want to see your mouth drop. Like,
oh, oh my god, it opened!
Yes, exactly.
Wow!
No, but seriously, that is, that's still mindfulness, really. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy how we lose that just love of life,
mm-hmm.
and love of the things that make everything amazing. Like, I remember third grade, we were driving a kid named Simon to and from school.
Okay.
And my dad had just gotten a new car, and it had the Bluetooth in it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was getting a phone call, you could hear it throughout the entire car.
Mm-hmm.
And so Simon was in the car with us, and this was his first time ever in my dad's new car, and my dad got a phone call, and mm-hmm. Simon went, And it was really funny because, like, a couple weeks before that, he had asked my dad what he did for a living, and my dad said, I'm in the CIA, but you can't know that. And so so Simon was just convinced for a second that my dad was in the CIA, and he had this talking car.
Like, I miss stuff like that, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not the same anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes there are those moments where it's like, it's snowing. Because mm-hmm. everyone loses their fucking mind when it's yes. snowing. We're like, oh my gosh, it's frozen rain.
It's the first snow of the year.
Yeah. And so, you know, there are glimpses of that, you know, childlike
mm-hmm.
wonder.
Yes.
But overall, you know, you kind of lose that.
Mm-hmm.
Life loses its glamour after a while.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but, you know.
It do be like that.
It really do. It really do. Okay.
The cat.
What about the cat?
Okay. So, his soul goes into the cat.
Okay.
So, where does the cat's soul go?
Did you see? The cat was on the conveyor belt going up to wherever.
No, I didn't see
that! Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so,
that's so sad.
So, when he went into the cat's body.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, flashed briefly. Like, the cat was on the conveyor belt. It's like, meow.
Oh, no. That's so sad.
Yeah, so.
So, in conclusion, dogs and cats can go to heaven.
Yeah.
Or like, wherever they're going.
As much as it doesn't seem like it at times, cats do have souls. They do.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you 110%?
My cat, I'm not really sure, but like the mm-hmm. other ones out there, they might have souls.
The other ones out there. Well, Bindi definitely has a soul.
Yeah, she's something. She's something else.
A cat, basically. But it's like the soul was supposed to go into a cat, but it went into a dog instead.
Like they traded.
Yes, or exactly. Bindi is my dog, by the way.
Yes.
She's the worst.
Very adorable, but very needy.
Yeah. For sure. Which honestly is perfect because she's like, she's keeping me company here. Mm-hmm. So the neediness is kind of essential.
That's fair.
To the experience. I respect it. Versus like if I had a cat and it just stayed away from me all day. Like, it wouldn't provide me the emotional support that I need because cats don't have souls.
They don't. They have souls. I love cats, but they
cats are amazing, honestly.
They are.
But yeah, I was really confused because I didn't see the cat on the conveyor belt. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. If we want to watch this movie for a third time, it's just that part. I'm like, it's there.
Well,
I swear.
I'll pay attention next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we got, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
thank you for listening.
It was a great experience for the first one. I'm sure the future ones will be a little bit more
organized.
Yeah, a little more organized, a little better. But you know, it's kind of we're testing the waters.
We're figuring stuff out. We're learning. It's a learning experience. Yeah.
So I hope you'll come on this learning experience with us.
Oh my gosh, come with us on the journey. God bless the broken road that led me straight to you.
My God. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Join us next week. I don't know what we're going to be talking about yet, but
we'll figure it out next week.
We'll figure it out and we'll announce it.
So we'll figure it out.
We'll get there. Okay. Bye.
Bye.